That's awesome. Let me open up my, being the electronic and digital geek that I am, let me get my notes out here on my super deluxe iPad. It's kind of shocking, actually. If I can figure this out. And one more thing, so it won't keep turning off. Yeah. Yeah. Open Door Church. Their church was right in line with the building. And there were two little girls. The tornado was coming and got rid of about some of the males in the tornado. Never been in the tornado. But it's the scariest, loudest. It's horrible. They heard it coming. These two little girls in the church, their mother was actually our church secretary. Amen. Thank you, Father Terry. That's an awesome word. Amen. I mean, again, you witness it today. You'll at Eucharist tomorrow. You will again tonight. They're just so sweet. And they're just so far more advanced than we were at that age. There's just a built-in kind of accountability, maturity. And that's one of the things. Let me just encourage you. And God is using a lot of places outside the CC. But the whole vision of the CC is that we could go for it with all of our heart, not be one less spirit-filled. But we have these sort of boundaries, these things. There are these safety. We have order. And so that they can grow and be extravagantly charismatic, but in an environment that promotes holiness. And are you with me? And so I'm just grateful. Thank you, Terry. That was awesome. I want to, David Paysinger, you want to pray for me?
Father, we come before your mighty throne and we thank you for Bishop Chuck. We thank you that he's a man not only of integrity, but a man of anointing. That you put him here before us to speak your word uncompromised. And Lord, we know that you've given him a screen to show him those things that are coming. Tonight we pray that you just open that screen before him. We don't care what he's prepared for. We care what you want him to give. And so, Lord, now anoint him for your words. Anoint our ears that we might hear what you have him to say. Prepare us not only to receive it, but be bold enough to implement it. But God, touch your servant with boldness and singleness of purpose, that he might speak truth, we might hear and thereby do, we pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Years ago, on a trip to Africa, Father Scott Howard was with me. We were in Uganda. And I was just asking the Lord what to preach. And the Lord just began to talk to me like one of those things. He said, what do you imagine me doing in a setting like this? And I said, well, you'd probably preach a little. The best sermon I ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, was like 15 minutes. And he said, but then I would minister to these people. And I thought, wow, you know, and that's what we did. And that's what I do when we go to Africa. But I thought about in America, and I've preached 10,000s of sermons. I get tired of hearing. I can't listen to myself on tape. I just like going, oh, man. There's that voice again. But I think that it's easy to not have that attitude. And I'm not saying we should teach or preach less, but I am saying that doesn't really happen much in America because we don't really expect much is going to happen. And therefore, we focus on learning. And yet I think Jesus has that same heart. And regardless of how much more difficult it is in America, God wants us to be intentional. So the Lord really spoke to me. He said, I just want you to teach a little. Because I'll be talking tomorrow for 2 hours. And so I'll say a lot more tomorrow than you ever would want to hear me say. But I just want to minister. We just want to minister tonight. But I want to say a few things, and that's just let Jesus do what he wants to do. Jesus proclaimed the kingdom, and then he demonstrated it. Now, let me just say this to you. America and the West is the hardest place in the world to minister supernaturally. Because we have all kind of backup plans. We're real cynical. We know so much. We get so critical and all these kind of things. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that God showed me over the years about that. But what I want us to do, my hope is for tonight, is this. There's this last trip to Uganda. I'm going to tell you a few stories and then just read a few scriptures. And then we're just going to see what God's going to do. And I'm not really sure what that's going to look like yet. I do know this, is that we're going to talk a little about revival. And the Lord spoke this word really clearly. He said, people are crying out for revival. And there's been so much intercession that the atmosphere is seeded with revival. And people are crying out for revival, but God says you can't have it on your terms. It's got to be on his terms. Now, you just ask the Lord yourself what that means. Because we want revival, but we want it to look like what we want it to look like so that we'll feel comfortable. We just want everybody to be happy about it. And you just got to let God, it's got to be on his terms. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, okay, that's just going to mean crazy stuff. Just ask the Lord what that means. That's a prophetic word for all of us. Because please hear me. I'm not talking about your parish being revived, experiencing revival. Of course I am. About your cities, about all of us, our diocese. But let's just first start with you. And remember, revival just means a restoration to normal. And one of the first things we've got to discover is, what is normal? Is what I'm experiencing normal? Is it biblically normal? Because you see, again, we're in a season where we're not just studying the book anymore. The book is studying us. And one of the things the Lord told us some months ago, he said, I want you to start studying and preaching the manual. I said, Lord, what's the manual? He said, the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts is a manual for normal Christianity in every generation since the Lord Jesus walked on the earth. He left us a manual. And that manual measures us. And we're to come up to that. And so what we're doing here, we were going to do Acts on Wednesdays. We switched it to Sundays so that more of us could hear it. And that every place in the book of Acts where our personal walk and our corporate walk doesn't measure up, we repent and we adjust. Instead of dumbing it down so that we don't feel guilty, so that we can feel comfortable. And if you don't think you do that, let me just confess to you, I've done it lots over the years. I got tired of changing at times, repenting. So let's just change it so that I feel more comfortable. But I'm old enough now to where I don't want to be comfortable anymore. You know? But we're standing in a place in Uganda outside of Masindi, way outside of Masindi. And we're in this little building structure. I don't know if you can actually call it a building. They called it the altar. It wasn't a church yet, but it was just a place of intercession and worship. That some CC people were, it's like a shack, kind of like a hut. And we're standing there, and they're doing worship, and it's just so remote kind of worship kind of thing. But they're singing this song, and I noticed this one priest standing over here just smiling. And there was a couple of songs that just blew me away, but one of them they're singing this song goes, "Things already better, things already better. When the Lord is on my side, things already better, things already better, things already better." And they were just singing, the guy smiling. And then I guess it was Bishop Bishop that came over to me. Araka came over to me and said, "That guy, he had a house with a grass hut and it burned down yesterday. He's got no place to live and his two-year-old daughter has malaria. They tried to take her to the hospital, but he didn't have money to check her in." And he's standing there singing, "Things already better, things already better. When the Lord is on my side, things already better, things already better, things already better." And he was singing that, one, because we were there, he expected God to do something. And two, he was so grateful that he was in the kingdom. And I turned to one of the guy on the people on our team. I said, "When I get back home, I'm going to slap every American Christian that I see. Because we're so ungrateful. We spend so much time analyzing, criticizing, getting in little corners." I've had to repent of that so much. I'm going to talk to you tomorrow some about digging trenches. But just recently, I just said to him again, "God, just Holy Spirit, it's time for a re-lube. It's time for oil change. And so show me any sin in my life." And I was thinking, you know, we'll write a few things down. 9 pages later, the Lord said, "You can quit now, Chuck." But understand, that was not morbid. I was so pumped because everything I knew that I was writing down that piece of paper, you know, that he was going to paraclete me. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be paracleted." There was going to be an increase of the Holy Spirit in my life. So I've had to just come to this place where a lot of things I've just tolerated and participated in, you know, just thoughts, attitudes, conversations and stuff. I just, skepticism, just the American dream nightmare thing, just down and out cynicism, all kinds of stuff. Because I want it all more than anything else in all this world. I want to experience it all. I've got it all. But I want to experience it all. And I want all of us to experience it all. And so sing with me. "Things already better, things already better. When the Lord is on my side, things already better, things already better, things already better." Acts chapter 1, verse 1 says this. "The first account I composed," this is Luke referring to the Gospel of Luke, "Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the ascension," basically. Luke was about all the things that Jesus began to do and teach, and now he's about to write about all that Jesus continues to do and teach. And so if you want to ask me from my place and my heart, my life, what is revival? Revival is a continuation of the life lived, message and ministry of Jesus through you and me, the church. In Romans, because you can't get more revived than the life that Jesus lives. Romans chapter 6 says, verse 10, "For the death that he died to sin once. But the life that he lives to God. Even so then, consider yourselves dead to sin, because you died in him, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." The death that he died to sin once, but the life that he lives, not lived, but the life that he lives to God. And he says, "Therefore, reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ." If you're in Christ, you're in union with the life that he lives to God. And the life that he lives to God in you and through you is revival. says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, "And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him His head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all and is in all." What is revival? Is the fullness of Jesus realized and released, experienced and expressed through His people, through His church. Church should look like a growing manifestation of the fullness of Jesus. Christians should look like a growing manifestation of the fullness of Jesus. What's the fullness of Jesus? What's the life that He lives? A life of holiness, victory over sin, love, all those things that we call the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's the life that He lives. And then if you noticed, everywhere He went in Scripture, He healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, changed everything around Him. That's also the life that He lives. And you and I can't claim fullness of the Spirit, if all we're doing is signs and wonders without character. We can't claim fullness if predominantly what we're doing is character and can't and aren't expressing the supernatural ministry of Jesus. Listen to this. This is Galatians 3. This is the one thing, verse 2, that I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does He then, who continually provides you with the Spirit and works miracles continually among you, do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Revival is the Holy Spirit making real in us the very life of Jesus and manifesting that life through us and working miracles. Miracles, the miracle of victory over sin, the miracle of victory over suffering and the devil as we minister to people, is part of normal Christianity. God, Holy Spirit, provides that for us continually by faith. And so when I talk to you about revival, I'm not talking about becoming more charismatic. I'm talking to you about the fullness of Jesus. And you know what happens when you walk in the fullness of Jesus, when you're pursuing that, and you're using the book as your plumb line? You know, you can say, well, I know that Jesus did what He did as the Son of Man, utterly dependent on the Father by the Spirit. And so He never sinned. I can't really relate to that. But look at the book of Acts. They were just like you and me. Had the same records we had. And yet Jesus said they would do even greater things. We can't use the excuse anymore. Those are our brothers and sisters. And yet they did amazing things. Their life was a life that was miraculous every day. Please, 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 don't do what I've done before. Don't make yourself feel better about yourself by just saying, well, it's okay, I don't live that. No, that's not okay. You and I don't get to set the rules. He does. And don't be afraid to go, God, I want that. I'm not there. I'm wanting that. I'm going to go for it. It's not about you feeling guilty or rejecting yourself or God rejecting you. Get over that nonsense. That's the enemy robbing you and robbing us. There is a scripture in Psalm 46. It's very familiar to all you seers. God, I love the CEC. Thank God for this particular wineskin. And I'm very grateful for our patriarch, because one of the things he has faithfully done again and again is remind us of our original vision. Hasn't he? He spoke at this convocation in Peachtree City or Sharpsburg. Is it Sharpsburg, David? Or yeah, a few years ago. And so let me just read this to you again. It says, "There is a river," verse 4 of Psalm 46, "whose streams make glad the city of God." And the thing that we talked about from the beginning And I can say this with a lot of confidence because I'm the third ranking bishop in the world. There are only two who were consecrated ahead of me. Elmer Belmonte and Doug Kessler. So I've been around. This is mine and John's 19th year. His is in heaven, mine's here on the earth. His part of the church triumphant, mine part of the church militant. And 19 years as a bishop, coming into my 19th year. And the vision, though, hear this, go back and read the preamble, the canons. Somehow we've gotten this mixed up and think the vision is that we're doing something that's three streams. The three streams is the goal. That what we're after is being three streams. So we got some charismatic here, and we've got some liturgical sacramental here. We've got some evangelical. We're doing it. That was never the vision. The vision was always the river. And when the CEC was formed, the wisdom was there's an anointing in the evangelical stream. There's always been an anointing in the charismatic stream. There's always been an anointing in the liturgical sacramental stream. If we could get those three streams together, we would walk in a river of anointing. And the CEC's vision was always fullness. Not just to say we got some of this and this and this. We got some of the three things. And fullness looks like the life of Jesus. The life that He lived and the life that He lives in you, in me, in the church. That's the plumb line. That's what we're going after. That's what we're headed for. You with me? It's not about, well, Archbishop always wants to be more charismatic. I just want you to be more like Christ. I just want to be more like Christ. And I want it to be fullness. I don't want to be halfway like Christ. Well, what does that mean? Every person Jesus prayed for got healed. Every person I pray for doesn't get healed. Why? I don't know. I mean, we could talk about that, I guess. But I'm going after fullness. And I'm not going to be content with anything less. I don't feel guilty when they don't get healed. I go before the Lord and go, God, if there's more you want to do in me, do it. But it's not guilt anymore. It's like four times in the upper room discourse, Jesus said, ask anything you want and I'll do it. I thought, whoa, you're kidding me. I used to read those verses and just change them because that made me miserable. So, but then I got childlike enough to go, whoa, that makes me excited. That's possible? That's what you said? That's what I'm after. And that's what I want all of us to be after. You're all so wonderful. We're not there. So this isn't from a place of pride at all. We are living in a city of revival and God's doing stuff. We've got a long way to go. My role in this city is I'm the cheerleader. It says, let's keep going. Let's not stop. Let's go more. There's more. There's more. There's more. Until it looks like this, there's more. There's more. I don't know how to do anything, but I know how to be a cheerleader. And I believe that my part, on behalf of my patriarch, is to say, in this archdiocese, there's more. There's more. That's more. Let's go for it. Not you go for it because I'm there. No, let's go for it. Let's go for it. And we'll learn how to steward it. There'll be some mistakes. Let's go for it. Amen. Amen. When we went to Uganda this last trip, all of you who went on the trip, raise your hand real high so everybody can look around. Look, there's a bunch. And the good thing is that about 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks after we were there, Bishop Headington, who was the last place we stopped, was here for a week. And so we were able to get an update of really all that happened. Because you do those trips, you don't really know totally what's going on. Because one thing we did, I think the last night we actually ministered, we did a radio program that went through the whole Rwenzori Mountain region stuff. And so Headington was waiting to hear from Timothy, his nephew, the testimonies that were sent in about people who got healed, whatever. And so when we finally got it all figured out, Dan thinks it's a low estimation, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 people got healed in the 6.5 days of ministry time we did over there. And let me just say to you this, it's not because Chucky was very anointed. I'm just a cheerleader. We had the most anointed, brave, awesome, go-for-it team, and they worked hard. This was hard work. This trip was hard work. Last year when we went, it was like we were walking on clouds, you know, but this was like a hard, you just discovered you were 62 years old and what in the heck are you doing in Africa kind of trip. It was hard. I fell down once going up steps. I almost fell out of the bus. And one bishop, Muhinda? He's about this big, and he caught me out of the bus. Scared him. And so from that point forward, I couldn't even walk without him just like being right with me. So he almost tripped me because he wouldn't leave me alone. So I nicknamed him Mama because his job was to take care of me. But just think about that. Was there 11 of us, is that right? 11 people, and somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 people were healed. He got the report from the radio while we were here, and there was almost 300 people that he knew of at that point who got healed as a result of the radio. One of the things that we experienced was, and this story is so awesome, there was one little girl, she was like 15 years old, but she was very petite and small, and she was so sad looking, and she was blind. She had had some head pain when she was 11, and it went away. When it went away, she was blind. So everything was black. And it's hard. When you're 11 years old and you go blind, and then you're a blind girl in Africa, man, life doesn't look very bright. So she was in my line of people, and I prayed for her probably for 20 minutes as people waited. Everybody had their lines. And the only thing that happened was is that she said that everything was now white. Not light, but white. And so I thought, well, God's doing something. And so we just kept praying for her. And finally, I needed to get to other people in line. And so Sam and her mom and others came and just prayed for her. We put her in a chair. Just keep praying for her. Just keep contending for this thing. And we probably prayed for an hour or so, maybe a little bit more. And when it was done, nothing had changed. She could still, everything was white, but she still couldn't see anything. And I tried to play with it, have some fun, but I couldn't get her to smile. It was so heartbreaking. There's always those kind of things, those trips. But the Lord reminded me of a story I'd heard, and we had seen people over the years pray for them, and the next morning they were healed. And I just said to her, Rose, I said, I just believe that in the next day, next few days, you're going to just wake up healed. And now I said that, I don't know how much of it was hope or conviction, but, you know, you just go for it. So when Hannington was here, when he showed up, he was in a little place called Bubukwanga. And when Hannington came, I said, Hannington, do you know anything about Rose, the little girl that was blind? He's like, praise the Lord. He said, I went to Bubukwanga 4 days later after you left. And when I got there, Rose is totally healed, can see completely. She's rejoicing in God and bringing people into the kingdom. Isn't that awesome? Now, I'd travel over there, crawl on my knees if I could get there for just that. But we saw God do so many things. What was the other song that was so cool? Jesus.
Never.
Yeah. We were in this crowded room because it was storming. Most of them were orphans who were in this school. I don't know how many there were. There was a bunch of them. The room was full. The rain was on that tin roof going. And they were just so poor. They were in rags. And they're singing this song, Jesus never fails, Jesus never fails, Jesus never fails, my Jesus never fails. Now, the Americans would be sitting in the corner feeling sorry for themselves, go, why has Jesus failed me? Why he didn't come through? Why has he left me this way? Oh, my church is just so small, and it just won't grow, and my, oh, my, I don't have enough money. They have rags, Jesus, beaming, never fails. Because you see, one of the things you discover when Jesus is all you got, you suddenly discover that he's really all you need. And so what I want us to do tonight is have some expectation. Some expectation and repent of a heart of cynicism. Break free from the American mindset of entitlement. It's funny how white Americans think people of color have a spirit of entitlement. But all Americans have a spirit of entitlement. Because you all think you deserve more. I mean, where else could the prosperity gospel be invented other than America? Those kids thought they were the most prosperous people in the world because they had Jesus. So let me just tell you, I'm going to preach the same word I preached there. The kingdom of heaven's here. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. We saw people get healed of mental illness and depression. And again, let me just tell you, everybody on that team is more anointed than I am. And I prayed for hundreds and hundreds of people on that whole trip. Only two people that I prayed for didn't get healed. And we had folks there helping us verify. You could always tell they'd just break out in a smile before you ever ask them. Just, why there, not here? I think because of things already better. Things already better. When the Lord is on my side, things already better. Things already better. Things already better. You're already among the upper echelon of people on the earth. You're a Christian. You're a citizen of the kingdom. But unless you become like a child, you'll never explore all that the kingdom of God has for you. And we'll talk a lot more in the morning about some practical things about experiencing revival. He said, well, Bishop, why do you think you know so much? I don't know much of anything. But see, I was privileged to come into the kingdom of God suffering from mental illness. And I was so desperate, I didn't have time to ask a lot of questions. I just wanted to know if Jesus healed. And I read every book that said the key to this, the key to that, and the key to this. Finally, one day I heard this word and read it 100 times in Romans chapter 7. Oh, wretched man that I am. What shall set me free from this body of death? And finally, for the first time, I saw that it wasn't a what, and it wasn't a formula. It was a who. And Christianity is a who-to relationship. This is a him, H-I-M book. It's not a how-to, it's a who-to. So let's let this who come and do the things he wants to do. Amen? Now, I don't want to keep you real late. Oh, I'll put my watch up here. That's the other thing about being 62. You don't remember anything, and you really don't care. Amen. I want to pray for you for just a fresh impartation, but I want to do that tomorrow. In our last little session in the morning. It's not going to be a heavy-duty thing. Just pray a prayer of fresh impartation as we share some things that get you on the road to going to, if you desire revival in your own life, if you desire to progress. The Lord says we're in a prophetic season of quantum leaps. If you want to experience a quantum leap, not an inch forward, but a quantum leap in the Spirit, in terms of personal revival, then I want to pray for you tomorrow for that. He said, well, again, I said that this morning or today at Eucharist. He said, well, Bishop, I've been prayed for bunches about this thing I'm going through. Well, maybe it's one bunches plus one. You with me? We prayed for that little girl for an hour and maybe an hour and 10 minutes. What if we'd only prayed an hour and 9 minutes? What if I'd stopped praying before she could see white? I don't know. You with me? We don't walk in the same kind of fullness that Jesus did yet. It's Jesus said, when you see the works that I do, when you see me, you've seen the Father. He said, it's the Father who does the works through me. As the Son of Man, he manifested the fullness of the Father. As the Father sent him, he said, so send on us. We've manifested the fullness of him. Here's what I want us to do. And this will give you some freedom, okay, to do what you need to do. I want us to go and do Eucharist. But if you have a need for healing in your body or in your soul, we've really been contending for a breakthrough for mental illness and depression, and we've really seen a breakthrough where people who have struggled with depression for years or mental illness or anxiety have just been set free and been healed. And so if that's where you're at, then we want to be able to linger with you. Once you receive Eucharist, consider yourself blessed. and you're free to go eat and whatever. So you want to stick around, help us pray. I want our kids to help pray. And I want us to contend for this. You with me? Let's do this a little bit, just a second. Let's just explore for a minute. And I want you to, we were in, again, Macindy, and we were outdoors, and as we were going to try to find something to eat, we saw maybe 6-7 people in wheelchairs coming up the highway, but we didn't know they were going to the place we were going to meet, and we finally got there. And the story is they were from an Anglican church across the highway. And so we got in there to do the service. They were all bunched over here. And so I just preached about the kingdom. And I was intimidated by them. You know, I was intimidated. And yet there was just something that just compelled me to foolishly keep going forward and telling them God wants to heal and God wants to do whatever. And so, but at that service, we had one man who had been bent over. He was 75 years old. He was bent over. He had to, couldn't hardly walk. When we left, he was dancing, jumping up and in the air, and left his cane, celebrating. That was God did some powerful things in that service. Everywhere we went, literally, I would say between 95% and 100% of people we prayed for on that whole trip were healed or set free. And it was awesome. My team was just awesome. Matter of fact, if you're not part of this diocese and you want to go on one of those trips, if your bishop blesses it, then we'd love to have you. But you got to go undercovering. You got a bishop. We do Brazil on the 20th of September. We'll be there for about 10, 11, 12 days. We're going to do 2 seminars on the Holy Spirit in 2 different cathedrals, and we'll pray for a bunch of people. And then hopefully we'll get to go to Africa again next April or so if we're released to do that. And so if you want to go on some of these trips or some of the conferences that we do, I think we've got 5 or 6 over the next few months. But just let me know. If we got room, we'll take you. All righty? What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. And so what I told him, I said, look, you sit tight. Because that may take longer to pray for you. We're going to pray for all these people, and then we're going to all, like, gang up on you. And so we're praying for people, and all of a sudden I saw them just take off in their wheelchairs. And they're leaving, and I told Bishop Baraka, go find out what's going on. And I said, he went and found out. And what happened was, because you could hear me over the loudspeaker when I told them God, you know, was going to heal, the priest from across the street was texting them and saying, get out of there now. And they left. And then we never got to pray for them. I will always wonder what would have happened. You know? And if God could heal a blind girl, he could certainly get some people out of the wheelchairs. Amen? So let's just see. If anybody has a word of knowledge, you get words of knowledge, you hear them in your head, you'll see them, a vision, or you'll feel them in your body. Who's got a word of knowledge about somebody? Do what? Nervous system? Nervousness or nervous system? Nervousness. If there's now, nobody likes to admit they're having problems with being nervous. I just told you I used to be mentally ill. But God wants to heal you. Who is that? Who's struggling with nervousness? Kelly? One back here? Who is that? Oh, Ruth Ann. I love Ruth Ann. Are you feeling it right now?
Yeah.
Well, Tucker, just lean forward and pray for Kelly. Ruth Ann, do you feel it right now? Yeah, okay. Bless your heart. Mike and Robin, just lean up there and pray for her. Who else has got a word?
Left leg.
Left leg. Okay. Left leg. Who is that? One here, one here. So, my friends, turn around and pray for her. Joey, you and Regina. Right there. Who was the other one? Oh, wow. Okay, Kim. Well, you got to get healed. You make the best peanut butter cookies in the history of the world. let's see. Dan, another. Dan, go back there and pray for Kim. Father Tuck. What's another word? Yes. Left leg? Left knees? Okay. George, you pray for him. And here's the thing. I'm sure you all know all this. Don't ask God to heal them. Command that condition to go away in Jesus' name. Okay? When you use his name, you're standing in his stead. So just command that to go away in the name of Jesus. Yes, Roxanne? Who? Yes, Abby? Headaches. Sandra, go over there and pray for Father Craig. Anybody else have headache? Kind of having some problems with headaches? For Father who? Father Glenn? All righty. David, would you two pray right there for Father Glenn, who's had headaches? And I have had that for the last couple of weeks, and so I'll get somebody to pray for me at Eucharist. Who else has got a word of knowledge? Somebody have a left elbow issue? You have a left elbow issue? Mike, you'll pray. You have a left elbow issue? So you, one of your kids, a couple of kids, just lean up and pray for her? And again, command the condition to go away in the name of Jesus. And then ask questions. When you're praying for them, then stop and go, how's it feeling? Is it going away? Is it better? And if it's better but still there, pray more. Everybody hearing that? Ask the questions. Who else has got a word of knowledge?
Lower back pain.
Elaine Holloway. Father Paul, would you and Judy just lean up and pray? You guys know how to pray for that. So if my clergy who, let's go up here. We'll start preparing the table. If somebody will move this for me. No. Luke, the worship team can just stay back there.